Let's go ahead and pray. Father Heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight and study your word of truth, Lord. We thank you for this platform to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for our darling son Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross, who paid the price for our sins, Lord. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So we thank God for Jesus, and we thank God for the gospel tonight. We thank you for this opportunity as we study together. We pray that as we study together, we're enlightened, that we're encouraged, and when we come away from the word tonight, that we are edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go right to, I always say it's important to know that death cannot be escaped from. Many have deceived themselves and think that doctors can save lives, but the truth is there has never been a doctor that has saved even one single life. All a doctor can do is help relieve symptoms temporarily to some future date. There has been only one doctor who has the ability to save anybody. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who rescues us from the grave. Only he saves us from death and destruction, my brothers and sisters. Contrary to popular religious thought, no man is born with the spark of divine good in him, nor are people innocent for a time and then become sinners. Instead, men are by nature the children of wrath. Therefore, man does not need improvement to his environment or society. Man does not need another chance to be better than he is. Man does not need an example to follow so he can raise himself out of the gutter. Instead, man needs to be saved, for he cannot save himself or contribute to his salvation in any manner or form. Friends, here's the simple truth. God is not working according to the way most people are praying. Hence, people pray for a certain outcome that actually does not come. They pray for violence to end, for peace, for God to come and judge the evildoers. Actually, here's a shocker. God is not working today as he did in time past. What he is interested in today is having people come to his son, Jesus Christ, by faith, that they receive forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. Rather than God pouring out wrath today, ushering in world peace today, he is pouring out peace and grace on undeserving sinners. He will come back in due time and judge this wicked world. Today, he silently offers grace, extend opportunity for all to be made right with him. Man needs to be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There will be no boasting in heaven. We cannot be saved by our own works, our own righteousness, but only by God's grace through faith. My brothers and sisters, salvation cannot be earned. Everyone is a sinner and deserves death, but God gives eternal life. So how can we receive God's gifts of eternal life? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believe it. To be saved, we must believe the gospel. The word gospel means good news. But before we can believe the good news, we have to know what it is. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. Now, my brothers and sisters, tonight we've been studying about ambassadors. Paul pinned down in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did not beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God is not asking us if we want to be an ambassador for Christ, but he is telling us, as true believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ in everything we say and do. But before we get back to the ambassador talking about the ambassadors tonight. Let me say this before we get going tonight, and that is, God loves you. God loves you. It's hard to imagine that a person's life can move in one direction for decades and suddenly, miraculously change its course. But it happens. Some of you listening right now are living proof. Apostle Paul for years was an enemy of the church. He considered it his job to eliminate the threat of Christianity by killing Christians. Acts 9:1-2 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Acts 22:4, "And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." Then one day on a trip to Damascus, he had a face-to-face encounter with the risen Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his life changed forever. I hope this will remind you of a wonderful truth taught in the Bible. No matter how badly we have messed up, God has forgiven us. Colossians 2:13, "And you, being dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." He can give you the transforming power through his word that will change your life. Paul expounds this very principle. Paul shared some important truths in the word of God that underline this fact. Somebody listening tonight needs to know that God loves you. God's love is unaffected by our past. Paul acknowledged that he had a past to live down. He said in 1 Timothy 1:13, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Notice what he said to himself, blasphemer. That means one who slanders God. He was a blasphemer because he denied the deity of Jesus Christ and forced others to deny it. Acts 26:11, "And I punished them often every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange city." Paul's attacks on believers were, in reality, attacks against Christ. Acts 9:5. "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick, against the pricks." Persecutor. Paul had used every means open to him under the Jewish law to annihilate the church. Acts 8:3. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, and into every house and hailing men and women committed them to prison." Paul was a mass murderer of Christians. What could be worse than killing people because of their faith in God? Then he said injurious, which indicate a kind of arrogant sadism. It describes a man who is out to inflict pain for the sheer joy of inflicting it, a person who finds delight in his own cruelty and in the suffering of other persons, of the other person. It is no wonder that after Paul was saved, Ananias said in Acts 9:13, "Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem." Paul was a mass murderer, violent, arrogant, sadistic man. In verse 15, he goes on to say, "I am chief." He saw himself as the worst of all sinners. Some folks, you're looking at yourself tonight thinking that you're the worst. How could God love you? Every time you turn around, you say, "I keep falling. I keep making mistakes. I keep running into the wall." This isn't a false humility. Paul really viewed himself as the worst sinner. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Look what he says in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice, my brothers and sisters, that Paul doesn't say I was, but I am, who was worse than a mass Christian killer who tortured people for sheer pleasure. He persecuted God's people unto death. This is no exaggeration. He was the chief of sinners. The fact is, God's grace can transform us in spite of whatever sins we have committed. There is nothing we can do to keep God from loving us. I hope you're listening to that tonight. It doesn't matter what we have done, regardless of what we have done. There is nothing we can do that would cause God's love for us to change. He loves us so much that he could not possibly love us more, and he will never love us less. The Bible teaches that God chose to love us in eternity past, and nothing can change that love. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is not an excuse to sin, but it is a reason to hope. No matter what we have done, or no matter what has happened in our lives, God doesn't view us as a second-class citizen. He doesn't consider us has-beens. His love for us as great as it ever was. It doesn't matter who we used to be. God loves us in spite of our past. And notice tonight, and that is, God can save us in spite of our past. Now look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:13-14, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul goes from abounding sin to superabounding grace. The grace of God rose higher than Paul's sin. Grace is God's loving forgiveness, exemption from judgment, and promise of eternal blessing given to guilty and condemned sinners freely without any worthiness on their part. And based on nothing they have done or failed to do. He goes on to remind us this basic biblical truth in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and word of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When I say that God can save you, this is exactly what I mean. First of all, he can forgive you completely and wipe the slate clean. Secondly, he can change you into the type of person he wants you to be. When a person puts his trust in Christ, after believing the gospel, the grace of God, he or she becomes a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is only the beginning of all that God does in our lives. It doesn't matter who you used to be. God can save you in spite of your past, and he will change you in spite of your past. Too often we use the past as an excuse. I've always been this way. I always had a problem with my temper. I just don't have any self-control. I just can't do nothing right. I can't shake this stronghold of drugs and alcohol. We tell ourselves that this is who we really are, and there is nothing that can be done about it. I'm telling you right now to trust God and put your faith in his word by dividing. Stop trying to do it yourself and put total trust in God and his word. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ will strengthen me. I'm going to stop there tonight, and I'll pick up with the ambassadorship next week, but I want you to know that those who are listening, God loves you. Stop beating yourself down when you fall. What happens when you fall? You pick yourself up through the Word of God. Look at where you fell short. You correct it through the Word of God. And you move on, knowing that God loves you. What can you say for those problems and issues and everything you go through, and when you fall short of because of decisions, our own decisions we make in life, or our heartaches that we get from our decisions? There's no need to be depressed. All you need to know is that Christ took care of it at Calvary's cross. So we use the Word, and we study God's Word. We meditate on it. And we believe it. There's a difference between just saying God's Word, reading it, and instead of when you read it, you truly believe it. You truly believe it when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." You truly believe it, that I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. You have to look at the scriptures. Through Christ. Not on your own strength. Whatever you're trying to do on your own, I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's going to fail. But through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where our strength lies. In Christ. In his word. Trusting in it. Walking in it. Believing it. And applying it. And that means practicing it every day, walking in it. So you don't have to make excuses. All you need to do is trust Christ. Don't live in the past. You learn from the past. We all made mistakes. And we're going to make some more in life. And when we do, know that God loves you and he cares about you. Some folks always say, how much did he love us? Look at Calvary. That'll show you how much he loved us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So I thank God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those listening in, that they are encouraged to know that you love us. You died for us. You loved us in eternity past. We thank you for all that you have done and is doing, and what you have in store for us in the ages to come. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word tonight. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died, buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the gospel, the good news. Knowing that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we know that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to be persecuted. But while we're being persecuted, we can stand and stand on the word, saying that we know your grace is sufficient while we are being persecuted. That we can rest in your power and your strength. Thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.